A hedge on the ledge.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. As far as corporate fraud goes, this one was a raw slap in the face to investors. It involved a hedge fund called Bayou Management. Bayou lost hundreds of millions of dollars, and then the CEO vanished. He eventually came out of hiding to admit to all kinds of mean and nasty things. Now Bayou has filed for bankruptcy. Sarah Gardner tells us the story.
Last fall, Bayou founder Samuel Israel and his CFO pleaded guilty to federal fraud and conspiracy charges. They'd raised over $400 million from investors over the course of 9 years. But even as they were losing money, they told their wealthy clients they were making profits and then created a phony auditing company to confirm the lies. Securities law expert Henry Hugh.
This is a very crude kind of fraud that one doesn't see all that often.
Still, Hugh says many institutional investors now hire private detectives to check the backgrounds of hedge fund managers. If they checked on Bayou, they would have found everything from trading fines to a false resume to a whistleblower lawsuit in 2003. Along with this week's Chapter 11 filing, Bayou's court-appointed administrator filed suit to recover returns earned by certain investors before Bayou's collapse. He said it was unfair that some investors made money on the hedge fund while others lost everything. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
On Wall Street Tuesday, a good old-fashioned drubbing. All 30 of the Dow stocks finished lower for the first time in almost 2 years. The Dow dropped more than 1.5% to close at 11,094. The Nasdaq fell 2%. The S&P 500 lost 1.5%. And today in Japan, the Nikkei plummeted 2.5%. Hillary Clinton kicks off her next campaign today in Buffalo. Officially, she's running for the U.S. Senate this November, but come on, you and I both know she's also prepping for that other race in 2008. More now from Scott Tong.
Clinton has banked $20 million bucks, though she may not need it for this fall's Senate race. Potential Republican opponents John Spencer and Kathleen McFarland have each raised less than $500,000. Still, Baruch College political scientist Douglas Muzio expects Clinton to spend a lot.
She wants to stomp either McFarland or Spencer. She wants to be slingshot out of this election.
And onto the national stage. Her war chest may also scare off members of her own party who may be considering 08.
She's saying to potential Democratic challengers, I'm sitting on 20. I can triple or quadruple this. Don't mess with me.
Team Clinton has also developed a high-tech donor database. The idea is to mine the data and customize fundraising pitches. Muzio says that was a key to President Bush's reelection in 2004. In Washington, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Toyota is recalling nearly 1 million cars around the world. That includes 170,000 of the hybrid Prius models in the U.S. The company says some faulty parts could cause people to lose control of the steering wheel. And as we all know, steering is pretty important when you're driving. Toyota says so far there haven't been any crashes or injuries. You're listening to Marketplace. Another hurricane season starts tomorrow. Will the oil and gas industry be ready? Marketplace's Hillary Wickay looked into it.
The American Petroleum Institute says the U.S. will be able to import enough gasoline to offset any disruptions Mother Nature might throw at us this hurricane season. Gas prices soared last year as Hurricanes Katrina and Rita knocked out refineries and disrupted pipelines. The API says imports are currently flowing in at record levels, and consumers have also reduced their demand slightly. Spokeswoman Karen Matusik says as of last month, three refineries still had not returned to full capacity, but that, she says, is about to change.
All the refineries that were affected since the hurricane are either the process of going back to absolutely pre-hurricane levels or already are.
Hurricane season officially begins tomorrow. In Washington, I'm Hillary Wickay for Marketplace.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management. HR. Leading people. Leading organizations. Online at shrm.org. The Marketplace Entrepreneurship Desk is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, on the web at kauffman.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. This is a year of elections in Latin America, and on one ballot after another, candidates promising radical change are winning. This weekend, Peru's in the spotlight. Voters have two of those protest candidates to choose from. But here's the thing. Peru is actually doing quite well. So why do people want a change? From the America's Desk at WLRN, here's Dan Gretsch.
Peru's economy is on a tear. Last year, growth topped 6% and inflation stayed low. This year, the economy's forecast to grow another 5%. And Peru's mining sector, driven by demand from China, has become a global powerhouse. Professor Carol Wise from the University of Southern California is a specialist on the Peruvian economy.
If you look at the numbers on Peru, it has been a star.
But she says the country's economy has an Achilles heel. 54% of its population live on less than $2 a day. Wise says there's a clamor for change among Peru's poor.
They've pretty much had enough of peddling in place and not really experiencing the kind of social mobility that you see with, for example, Peruvian mining executives that are in cahoots with the Chileans or the Australians that are driving their BMWs around.
In Latin America, and everywhere really, economic growth and political popularity usually go hand in hand. Not so for Peru's outgoing president Alejandro Toledo. He's an economist who's kept a steady hand on the economic tiller. But politically, after 5 years in office, he's deeply unpopular. Michael Shifter is with the Washington-based think tank, the Inter-American Dialogue.
Peruvians thought there was a real opportunity to make progress on a whole range of reforms, and that really hasn't happened. That's why you have the two candidates that you have in the final round.
One candidate, Ollanta Humala, is a left-wing populist, a former general who led a coup in 2000. He wants to nationalize the mines to spread more of that natural wealth to the poor. The other hopeful, Alan Garcia, is, well, he's a left-wing populist too, a former president whose free spending bankrupted the country 2 decades ago. Garcia says he'll hit mining companies with a windfall tax and spend that money on social programs. Stephen Johnson is a Latin American specialist with the Heritage Foundation in Washington.
People don't feel that they're really part of the economic engine that is driving Peru right now, and they're looking for somebody who will talk for them and be the man on horseback who will come into town and bark some orders and shoot some bad guys and take up their cause.
On Sunday, voters will choose between the lurch to the left advocated by Humala and the nudge offered by Garcia. Whoever wins will have to accommodate the expectations of Peru's poor, yet keep on board the business class so crucial to economic prosperity. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
Every weekday on
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.